Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy. And guess what? It is Friday, TGIF. We have so much going on for the show, so much going on this week. It has been an amazing week. If you missed any of the shows, I definitely recommend that you check them out on the Facebook page, facebook.com/the Roundtable Talk Show. We had people channeling. We had someone who announced that he was just terminated at the last minute on a show because he asked about COVID-19 precautions. And his company said, if you don't come into the office, you no longer have a job. And so that was an interesting show. It is amazing. Like I said, please go ahead and watch some of the archive shows. You will be blown away. And you're definitely going to be blown away by today's show. So while I'm introducing my guest for today, I'm going to invite you to do what I always invite you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And why would you? Why would you? We have so many amazing conversations. I'm sure you'll be available to tune in. Now, I want to go ahead and introduce my first guest. My first guest, I just love her. Love her. She's so amazing. And we just connected. You've seen her probably on 5 or 6 shows. And each and every show, she does the same thing. She helps people. She helps our guests. She offers words of kindness, wisdom. But we're going to go ahead and introduce Jody DeLuca of Erie, Colorado Counseling. Good morning, Jody. How are you? Okay, so wait, we got you muted real quick. So got to get you unmuted, Jody.
Let's see. Hi, it's good to be here. It's a privilege, especially to be here with you, Sharifa, with Josie, with Jay, with Tamara. So thank you. I'm excited.
You are so welcome. Why do you decide to come back? Why do you use this as a platform to help other people?
Well, I think, first of all, because it's very comfortable. And I enjoy working with you. And I also enjoy meeting the diversity of individuals that are on the show. More than anything, though, it's real. It's real. It's not edited. And each of us get to disclose, or each of us get to address issues that we want without being censored. So for me, in a world where things are very chaotic, this is a show that leads to change, leads to increased self-awareness. So for me, it's the place to be, and I enjoy it. So thank you for this privilege.
You are welcome, and I appreciate it. And I'm just gonna ask, just because you're here with me today, I'm gonna tell you the show that stands out to me the most with you, but I'd love to hear if there was any particular show, any particular guest that stands out for you. The one that stands out for me is when we had the young lady who was suffering from mental illness, and she just started this whole career. She had been suffering from it all her life. She got on the show. She was almost in tears. And the thing that you most likely didn't realize is I was almost struck for words. Like, I didn't know what to say. And then all of a sudden you just started comforting her. And I was like, go, Jody.
Well, thank you for that. But for me, it's a passion. What I do is a passion. And when I see people that are facing challenges and they continue to get through them, that is a gift for me to see, and to be allowed to even influence them or validate their experience, I think brings things to a higher level. That was a show that really touched me as well, because her candidness, her disclosure of what she had been through with her mental illness since the age of 16 was phenomenal. And then she put it out there, which means she validated the similar experience that others were having. So yeah, that was a show that stuck with me as well.
Yes, I definitely appreciated you being on those shows. And then you joined us with another lady who had her book on healthcare in America. So you two were two guests on two shows. Yeah. So yes, Deborah Gordon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in her book. So it's just been amazing to have you here, and you always offer something to the show. But just in general, being, again, a counselor, what are some of the things that you're seeing in the last few months during this global pandemic, and how can people handle and deal with some of these situations?
Well, and that's something unique to you and I too, as we started our relationship. I think the first time I was on the show was the onset of the COVID era. So, you know, that was very big. And then we watched it, and then we transitioned into a world unlike any other world we've experienced in modern times. So I think as things develop and change, it's not only the virus we're coping with, we're coping with a lot of international and national chaos, a lot of violence, a lot of protests, a lot of different types of things in history have been replicated, but finally coming to a peak again. For example, Black Lives Matters. We've got an election coming up. I think it's over a little over 60 days or something. So to mask or not mask, to vaccinate will be the question, or not vaccinate. What do we do with this quarantine? What's happening? How is it affecting us psychologically, emotionally, financially? All these different things. And at the end of the day, we find all of us thrown into a world that we never expected. One day we wake up and it's all changed. We're suddenly questioning our own belief system, our own integrity, our own bias, and everything is changed. And for a lot of people that I see in the private practice, as well as a lot of clinical friends and colleagues, it's every day it's something new. But there is a collective around the world, and maybe Jay can talk about this too, since he's in Europe. There's a collective grief, and there's a collective sense of the unknown, which creates a lot of anxiety. And then you've got all the other variables, all the violence, all the protests, all the political differences, religious differences, and suddenly they're coming to a head. To have the kids in school or remote learning. That is a big one. Now we're seeing an influx of all the parents, the fear for the kids. I see a lot of teachers as well as a lot of healthcare workers like myself. So there are a lot of changes on a global level as well as a national level for us. And everybody has to do what everybody is comfortable with for them, unique to them and their families and loved ones.
And what are some of the things that we can do to go through that grief process and go through that process of fear? Because that's what a lot of people are feeling. They're feeling the fear of the unknown.
Yeah, talking through it with people you love, stay connected. Now things are calming down a bit. We still don't know enough about this pathogen, but reaching out to others, educate yourself. If you're going to read about what is going on with this virus, read reliable sources that are based on scientific evidence. But reaching out, talking with other people, identifying your own triggers. What triggers me? What triggers you? When do you find that you're the most irritated or the most anxious? Some people, it's going into the grocery store. Other people, it's watching the news. Limit the news. You have to be aware, but limit it. So understanding and identifying what sets you off and what sets off the anxiety, the depression, the irritability. There's a lot of anger as well going on. The loneliness. Loneliness is linked to the same part of the brain and emotions. Loneliness activates the fight and flight response, which is evolutionary, innate in our species. We are designed to survive and reproduce the species. So that fight and flight warns us if there's an actual threat or even a perceived threat. We have to pay attention to that. And when are we most anxious? Driving, you'll notice driving is more erratic, even though for a period there weren't that many cars on the roads. Things are changing. I see people arguing in parking lots. I myself see my frustration levels going up sometimes, and we all have to check ourselves.
I think those are wonderful words to live by. Very important. Thank you, Jody. Of course, we're going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, mainly because, you know, Jody, you mentioned him. I want to go ahead and introduce Mr. Jay Staniford. And he is a serial entrepreneur. He talks about marketing. He's a marketing entrepreneur, a coach, a speaker. He's also the co-founder of Expert Unleashed. Good morning, Jay. Thank you for being with us here this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and speak with you guys. And it's great to be able to speak to an American audience as well. So me being from Europe, the UK, it's I love the country. I've been to America a few times. So it's really great to share my knowledge and see how that's found and how that's received from an international audience.
Absolutely. I love being able to talk to people around the globe. You know, that's one of the benefits of Zoom and technology is we can reach people all over the world. And one of the things that we saw in COVID-19 during this pandemic is that it's a global pandemic. I think this is, in our lifetime, the only time where everyone in the world has been affected by the same thing. Maybe not at the same levels in the same ways, but how have you seen your world, your life, your community being affected during this time frame?
Yeah, I think it's very similar to what Jody said. So similar things, people have panicked and different people have different expectations or theories of what should and what shouldn't be done. So you have the parents who are now concerned about their children going to school, and then you have the people that don't have children who are saying, I don't know what it's like in America, but in England, it's the government are recommending that you wear a mask everywhere you go, but they're not enforcing it. So it's a bit strange, but they're saying that children don't have to wear them. And if you work in a shop, you don't have to wear one either. Whereas if you're going into a shop to shop, you should wear one. And obviously you get people make the jokes and the memes online about stuff saying, okay, I'll get a job at Tesco then so that I don't have to wear a mask. And there's a lot of that going around. I think there's a lot is turned from the support of the government helping out financially and all the other ways that they were supporting people. And I think it's now turned slightly bitter because it's continued on. And although I think there was an expectation that it might go on this long, I believe that people hoped and maybe assumed that it wouldn't go on as long. And it's still going on all around the world. Some places still falling back into lockdown. Other places are still out of it. And then I think there's quite a big negative vibe. If you open yourself up to that right now, the togetherness has almost started to dissipate slightly. There are still groups of people that remain positive, but I do believe a lot of it comes from the media, a lot of the way that they're directing it, but also a lot of the way that you engage people. If you start a conversation with someone focusing on the negative, then ultimately that is the way that the conversation is going to continue. So I try to remove myself away from that. And I haven't watched the news since the start of this. But what I have picked up on is people speaking to me and overhearing conversations. And obviously a lot of the focus is on the negative because of the deaths and things like that and the loss of jobs, the financial implications. But I think there's a lot of good that has come out of this as well in terms of the togetherness of the technology's enabled us to do on a global level. Like, this probably wouldn't have happened so openly or freely previously. Networking in other ways, adjusting businesses so that they can survive online rather than having to be on the street shop only. I mean, some of my clients have completely changed their businesses and are making more money now than they were previously. And it's just fantastic, some of the innovation that's happened as a result of this. I mean, Zoom alone went from so many million valuation to, in my head, it's so many billion, I believe now, a ridiculous amount, a huge growth. And I think it's only going to keep going. I mean, this we're going to come out of this eventually, completely, but we're going to be in a new world. Things are going to be different financially. Laws are going to start changing and needing to be adjusted, I'm sure. The way that schools operate, I mean, maybe this social distancing thing will become a new norm, that we won't have this huddled togetherness anymore in queues that we used to experience. And I think there's going to be a lot of changes, some for the good and some I think we're going to have to find the positive in.
Mm-hmm. No, I love exactly what you had to say. It's basically the same thing here. I can at least speak for Southern California. I can't speak for everywhere in the nation, but we have been recommended to wear masks, but it's not being enforced everywhere. There are some places here where they are actually issuing fines. So if you don't have a mask, then you receive a fine. And then as you keep not wearing a mask, the fines increase. But then there are other stores who said, you know what, we don't want to fight with people. That's what we don't want to do, because you see all these viral videos of people getting into fights with the security guards, with employees, and employees are going, you know what, I didn't come to work for this. I didn't come to work, you know, to fight with someone to put on a mask. So we're seeing a lot of that. But one of the stories that I really love from one of the guests that shared with me is she said she saw something online where a lady had printed out this letter, went around to her neighbors and introduced herself. So my guest decided she wanted to do the same thing. So she wrote this letter introducing herself to all her neighbors, letting them know, especially the elderly, that if they needed something from the store, if they couldn't get out, if they needed someone to talk to, whatever it was, she was there, she was available, and she listed her phone number and she passed it out everywhere. And the results that happened, she was really surprised. She said she did not get one phone call from anyone who said they needed anything. However, she received several phone calls from neighbors who said, you know what? I never knew who you were. Thank you for introducing yourself. I'm glad we were able to connect. So you see these opportunities with people who are connecting. Now, personally, Jay, you know, you mentioned your clients, but how were you affected? Did you have to pivot your business? Were you strictly online? Were you always working from home? What are some of the things that affected you personally?
So my plan over the next couple of years, 2023, my plan is to move to Australia. So I've been systemizing all of my businesses over the past 6-7 months, well, prior to COVID, so probably a year now, trying to get everything online so that I can make the move and not have my business affected, because I invest in property. So I've made sure I've got a team that can keep doing that in the UK, because it's a great market right now, even in this current situation, to invest in property. I trade Forex and things like that. So I've got some stocks. And then I've got this coaching and marketing business that I have. And initially it was very face-to-face consultation type business, or going into their offices. And this, there was some pushback with some people where they said, no, you need to come into the business, into my business, if we're going to work together. Whereas now, people are, you know, it's getting towards, was it 8-9 months? I mean, surely it's going to be a year, if not longer, before it's completely back to the new normal, whatever that looks like. And people are now, they're used to using Zoom. They get this. This is great, actually, because I haven't got to travel. I don't have to offer you tea and biscuits. I don't have to travel back. I've not got the traffic. You know, it's you're at home or in the office, wherever it is. And this is great. The time saving that this has delivered for so many people, I think, has made people realize that actually all these people that I'm sending all over the place, I mean, I'm sure traveling around America's a much bigger distance than it is in the UK, but it's still a big distance, and the costs that businesses are acquiring. So they're realizing that, yes, sales may have dropped, but bills in the office have reduced, because home working is a new thing that people are taking on. It's a benefit to the employee, and it's actually financially better for the employer than reduction in fuel costs, reduction in the need for field salespeople. I know that I appreciate that that means loss of jobs in some places, but where you're losing some jobs in sales, if you're attracting more customers from a wider area, you probably need to get more customer service, more development, more people that are going to onboard. So there is more opportunity in other places. I know that a big clothing company called Next in the UK, they're laying off some field salespeople, yet they've made more money during this period through online sales than they have previously before COVID. So they're reducing the workforce there, but increasing it in other places. So the one thing that has affected me, I guess, personally, is the initial panic that people had, in the same way that like currency is affected. Something happens, people panic, and it affects the market before it really should have. Like, we went through Brexit, so the UK leaving the European Union. And one of the things that really did is the panic it caused, a lot of stocks were affected negatively. But the reality is that was just people's thought processes and panic response, like the fight or flight situation, like Jody talked about. So that is what caused it, not actually leaving the EU that caused it. And this is what happened at the start of this pandemic for me. People panicked. And when people panic, they're like, I'm not going to have much money, so I need to stop marketing, which actually means I'm going to stop telling people that I'm here to provide and to sell products, which is always backwards, but it's the way that people think. So people were panicking and freezing up on their marketing. So I did slow down in some of the hands-on clients that I had, where I actually do the work for them. But coaching clients and helping people through through actually coaching them through their marketing, helping them to adjust and pivot their businesses, build their brand, all that side of things, that went through the roof. That so where I lost it kind of did that. And I'm gonna
I've seen that in quite a few businesses. I saw it in one guest in particular who does real estate, and he was talking about how his business had just exploded during his time frame. But one of the key reasons why his business exploded is that he said he used to do a lot of in-person meetings, and you can only show a certain amount of houses per day, no matter what, you know, because you're driving around. He said when he started doing it virtually, he was able to have so many more appointments, show so many more houses, so his business went through the roof. The same thing for me, you know, on the roundtable talk show, I have 5 guests per day. And it was, you know, before COVID, I was like, I wanted to do this. I don't know why. I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. But had it not been for COVID and people being more used to Zoom, I would never have been able to maintain 5 guests a day. It's the 30th of March, because people would have been like, a Zoom? I'm not doing a Zoom. I'm busy doing this. I'm going speaking over here. But 5 guests a day since 30th of March show up for the roundtable talk show, give or take a guest today. You know, like we have 4. I'm gonna come back with you, Jay. I wanna go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Tamara Mitchell Davis of TM Davis Enterprises. She's a best-selling award-winning author. We're gonna talk a little bit about her book. She's a public speaker. I'm just honored to have her here today. Good morning, Tamara, how are you?
Good morning, I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm excited to have you here. I love when I get the award-winning, best-selling authors, experts on the show. I don't always talk solely about COVID. Jody brings that out in me. I don't know. I just like help you.
Hey, that's your parent association. We got to change that.
I know. To see like, you, Tamara. She helps people. So let's talk about how we can help people. But Tamara, let's talk a little bit about you, TM Enterprises. Can you give us the background, please?
Sure. So, I mean, I just wanted to first thank you for the opportunity to be here on your platform. And everything that has been said thus far from Jody and Jay has been spot on. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, yep, that was me. Yep, that was me. In regard to the whole Zoom and venturing out in business in this digital space. So when I first started my business, TM Davis Enterprise LLC, it started from my first book, my very first book being written and published. Initially, it was just, you know, something that was on my goal list for years. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. And so it's like I was bit by the entrepreneurship bug or the writing bug. And from there, I just started building and looking at it from a different lens. So from publishing the book, I started the business, and the business is around coaching women into writing their own stories. So memoirs, I do coaching training. I provide digital products. My recent book was Less Not Broken. You asked if I had a book with me. So this is a good problem to have. So I usually keep them in the car with me, and I sold out of the books that were in the car. And so that's a good problem to have. Thank you. That's a good problem to have. So I had to pull over and jump on Zoom because I am a woman of my word. So I had a little self-care morning plan for me, went and did some float therapy, a 5-mile walk. And I said, you know what? I'm sitting here with the trees behind me with the wind blowing. So that's why I'm here with this background. But I started to coach women to help them craft out and just own their truth and their stories and share their stories in the platform and the place of writing and publishing and then building a business with it. So monetizing their message. And that's just how I started. I'm on my 4th book now, which is an anthology with 11 women. The book series is Blessed Not Broken. So this will be the second series to the Blessed Not Broken project. But going back a little bit, my first book is titled Goal Getter. And this is all about, you know, infusing my MBA, my business background into crafting out my plan of action. And so that's why I said when I started out with just publishing a book, it touched on some of the challenges and struggles that I encountered growing up, but then I also shifted into, you know, business strategies. I said, let's see where we can go with this. And so I started the business. I published my second book, which is Goodbye Fear, Hello Destiny, because what does, you know, people generally deal with fear, right? We're even in COVID right now, and that's one of the main stressors, fear of the unknown, fear of what to expect, even fear of failure. And then that's when I went into the Blessed Not Broken book project, and which is a collective of women. So I also, you know, coach individually, but I, you know, I have the book projects, which is more of collective. So that's it in a nutshell.
I like that. Prior to coming to the show, I get all the emails every day, all the guests are like, Sharifa, what is the topic? What are we going to talk about? And I don't know. The conversation develops organically based on what we collectively decide that we want to discuss and based on what squirrel I see. Because I'm like here, then all of a sudden it's like squirrel, you know, and so I'm listening to you and I heard everything you had to say, but the squirrel hit me at floating therapy, float therapy. I'm like, what is float therapy? I want that.
So float therapy. So I just learned of it, believe it or not, Thursday. One of my girlfriends said to me, oh, you should try float therapy. And I'm in a space right now where I just want to try different things. And so I said, you know what, let me go. But I brought someone with me. I brought my daughter with me. So basically you go into this pod and it has water there. And it's like a salt solution, similar to Epsom salt, but it's music playing, but it helps you to float. And so you have the option of being in this pod for 60 minutes or 90 minutes. I opted for 60 minutes because it's my first time, but you're just floating. And it's the idea behind it is to de-stress, is to, you know, meditate and to just be in this space of relaxation. And I said, I'm all for it. I was sold on it. So I booked my appointment Thursday afternoon. I went this morning. I loved it. I will be going back. And it was a great experience.
Where are you located?
I'm in Connecticut.
Okay, I have to Google some float therapy here in Long Beach, California, because I think we call it going to the beach. I think that we have a different experience here. I don't know. I will figure it out. You said so much is interesting, but I want to come back to you, Tamara. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, mainly because I've been talkative this morning. When I get talkative, then all of a sudden I leave somebody out. I want to introduce Ms. Jyoti Dugar, and she is a leading cybersecurity expert. So we've been talking about safety, fear, security, and I think Jyoti is going to tell us other ways that we can feel safe. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Sharifa. How are you? I'm so glad to be here today. Just interesting conversation.
I'm excited to have you, but I'm distracted. The squirrel I see now is your backdrop. Tell me a little bit about your backdrop.
Well, this is my safe space in my own home. So this is actually right next to my bedroom, like this open space. So I kind of use it for energy healing and, you know, getting to my own space, meditation. And when I do podcasts, because I feel like there's a whole new energy in this one part of the room that I cleanse and detoxify and recharge with energy than any other part of the house.
Oh, I like that. I just want to thank a couple of people for tuning in this morning, especially Jade Elizabeth, one of my dear friends. You'll always see her on the Roundtable Talk Show. And Tamara, Jade says they have float therapy here in Huntington Beach. Okay, so I'm going to go figure that out as well. But Jyoti, your focus is cybersecurity, correct?
So I have a lot of focuses. That is one of my focuses. Yeah. I've been in cybersecurity for 25 years now, but my focus is actually to bring the holistic wellness side to cybersecurity, just because there is a lot of stress, burnout, fear, overwhelm, and just people that are connected to technology 24/7, wired all the time, always on the go, go, go. Because, you know, as you know, in cybersecurity, the hackers don't stop hacking just because you want to take a nap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, therefore, you go into this fight, flight, or fear mode almost 24/7 just because you can't just allow yourself to relax. Even when you go to bed at night, you're constantly, you know, you got to be on the up and out. Like if somebody calls you, if your work calls you because there's a major incident or somebody's breaching you, especially during this time of COVID, you know, if you work for a federal government agency in the U.S., you know, you need to be You can't wake up, you know, with a hello. You got to be like, okay, yes, what's going on? Like, you know, let me get to it. So it does start having a pretty debilitating effect on your body. So float tanks, I love float tanks.
You get in a float tank?
We have those in Virginia, and that was actually my go-to when I was getting burnt out myself. Because the other part that part of it that Tamara hadn't mentioned was it helps you relax, but also you're covered. So it's almost like you're going inside a dark tank and then you're covering yourself. So you lose all of your senses. So it's on purpose. So it basically helps you just let go. You know, you're not thinking about things, you're not seeing things. So your brain can just let go too. So it's an amazing experience. And the Epsom salt definitely helps with the muscle relaxation and things like that. So I'm a big proponent of float tanks, which is great. But yeah, so that's my passion isn't necessarily just cyber, but it's also bringing the holistic wellness perspective to cyber, and also bringing a holistic viewpoint to the world, because I've gone through lots of trauma myself, from childhood trauma, as well as healing myself naturally through holistic wellness practices after my third baby was born, and I was left with 6 weeks to live because of the mistakes that my OB had made during my C-section. So I couldn't walk for about a year. I actually was able to heal myself in about 2.5 years. So, you know, it did take some time. But during that time, I actually realized, you know, your body and your mind has the ability to heal yourself. So I learned all the modalities and techniques and tools that, I was learning to heal myself. I then got trained and certified in those so that I can also help others. So I was trying to figure out, like, who do I help? Do I help everyone or do I help a specific group of people? And since I was doing cyber and then I was also doing wellness, I was like, well, what do I need to do to merge those together? Or do I have to drop one for the other? And what I realized is there's so many, you know, the technology world, the corporate world, the cyber world, there's so much there. People just need help because they're just wired all the time. In my own job, there's people getting sick, like diseases, all the time. And the fear factor is always there, especially in cyber, because you're always like, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Oh, there's an incident. Now we have to jump on it. And then the fighter, they go into this fighter. So I actually teach that in the technology space, like how to not let the fight, flight, or fear mode, or stay in that mode for a longer period of time than you really have to, like, just identify it, and then you got to be able to kind of move away from that. And then what I specialize in is quick techniques, because if you know anything about corporate world, they're not going to go to a float tank, they're not going to go meditate for an hour, they're not going to go do yoga classes, mainly because it's male dominated, and it's very masculine male personalities.
Yeah, let's talk to Jay. I want to talk to Jay. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jyoti, but this is kind of something I do. Jay, are you opposed to the float tank and to meditation?
No, I'm not. I saw it on the Big Bang Theory, the float tanks. And weirdly, in that sketch that they did, it was Sheldon and Amy. I don't know if you guys watched this. And Sheldon was worrying about it, but when he came out, he was fine. When Amy came out of it, who was looking forward to it, she was like a complete wreck. So it's interesting that I understand what you're saying with the male, the macho, oh, I don't need this sort of stuff. And I think that's why males tend to have more problems in terms of within their body and within their headspace, because they're not as open to sharing. And I'm quite a closed off person. I struggle to show emotions, but it's something that I work on, the meditation and stuff I do every single day. And I understand why people in a male position, that are male, and especially in senior positions, would not want to show those feelings or share them or express them or even venture into them in case there's a feeling there that they didn't know existed. So I understand it, although I also understand that it's not a good, healthy way to be for you or the people around you, because it comes out eventually in some form, some way or another. It will come out, at least if you deal with it and tackle it head on, you can control how it comes out because mm-hmm. it's a controlled environment that you're bringing it out in. But this is obviously why suicides and things happen, because they don't know how to release it. And then, you know, they genuinely believe in their head that the way to solve the problem is to end it. And it's, I think that's probably why there's a higher male suicide rate than females. So yeah, I'm not against it. And the float tank sounds great.
I might have to check it out. Jody, you going out there and get you some float therapy?
You know, I'm fascinated with it, but I think exactly for what Josie hit on, you know, it desensitizes you, but it also stops the world and stops that sympathetic nervous system, that fight and flight, that, you know, shock and awe. And the body, the brain especially, gets to renew itself. It's kind of like reset. What we always recommend, and what I recommend to people, is you got to step outside of your life. I got to get this done, deadline. Okay, but your brain needs a break, your body, your senses, and we're all on overload. Josie, what you do is phenomenal, because you actually have what's going on, like Jay was saying today. I mean, the internet, virtual platforms, all of us are concerned about cybersecurity. I am, because almost all of my therapy now is teletherapy. And yet there is so much anxiety, so much fear of the unknown, but also fear of vulnerability because of cyber attacks. And then at the opposite end of the continuum, you're offering these holistic options. And it brings to mind that all of us having options to get through what we're going through. Kind of like what Tamara said with the writing your story, journaling is very important today. I had a question for Josie. May I ask?
Absolutely.
Okay. So right now, what is the number one type of hacking that you're finding?
Sure. Yeah. So so I have 4 books coming out, and one of my first books was basically to merge cyber and wellness together, because you have to be well to do cyber. But then even for people that aren't cyber, you're gonna have to know cyber. Everybody's gonna have to know cyber at some point. So it's gonna become part of you. And you made an excellent point. Before, when I was trying to tell the wellness folks about cyber, they're like, oh, that's, you know, I'm not worried about that. I'm like, well, okay. One day you will be, because when your whole system goes down and you lose all of the data on your website, I'm pretty sure you're going to care. And that's exactly what's been happening now. So the number one the number one vector is really phishing. And there's so many different variations, like there's vishing, there's smishing, and all that kind of stuff. But basically what it is social engineering, right? So if you get this email from like IRS, that says, oh, you know, you didn't pay your taxes, or something got lost, you gotta, you know, give us your social security number so that we can, you know, rectify it for you, you know, and people fall for that all the time. And the hackers are getting better and better at it. Like right now, most people can probably recognize the very blatantly obvious ones, like, ah, this is just phishing. But then there's ones that they'll call you about your child, and like, hey, before, when kids used to go to school, they actually, if they, you know, since most people put a ton of information on Facebook and Instagram, they know all about you because you put it there. It's not that they stole it from you, but because everything is, you know, people like to post, oh, I'm on vacation in Ireland. Oh, I'm going here. So they know, now they know that you're not home. So now you're opening yourself up for all of these possibilities. But the number one way is phishing. So they'll send you an email, they'll say, click on this link, or they'll say, fill out this form with this information because the bank lost that information from you. And then now you're sitting there giving them all of your information. And then you realize that your bank account is empty, or you realize that your website is like completely shut down. So there's different.
Those are horrible. But me, you know, I've been online since the early 90s, and I still every day get these emails where I look at them, I go, just knock it off. Like, nobody is going to believe this, you know, especially those ones. They all start off the same way. Dear reader, I am contacting you because you are the beneficiary for $25 million from your great, 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 great deceased cousin's father's. I'm like, really? Like, come on now. Like, the other stuff, you know, if some people fall for some things, if, you know, I'm like, I get that. But these letters, especially with this beneficiary stuff, I'm like, why do you even waste the time? But then I think, someone must have, you know, some people must keep falling for it in order for them to keep doing it. I'm like, but this is ridiculous. This is horrible. And I, for one, believe that there should be stricter, stronger laws against this. I think that more hosting companies should be, you know, responsible for some of the things that they have that happen. Because when you report them or you send them to the spoof email addresses, I don't see anything ever happen. But then again, they move to a different country, they move to a different server, and they keep doing the same thing. But I just think that these people should be locked away. That's my soapbox for today. I want to go over to Tamara real quick, because one of the things that you talked about is that you did your books, you wrote your books, but you focus on helping specifically women entrepreneurs. I always ask people, why go the extra step? You know what I mean? You've done 4 books. Why not just promote the books? What was the motivation to say, now that I've done this, let me take other people with me?
So the motivation for me was just seeing how the struggle or the challenge is when you're venturing out into something that's unknown. And for me, it was my own experience, not knowing, you know, any published authors, right, you know, right in my backyard, if you will, where I could, you know, get some guidance and support. And I know that that there were some struggles with me with writing, or with, you know, just going outside of what my comfort zone is, or even believing in myself that I could do it. So I know that some of those struggles exist, because I get women reaching out to me all the time. And I said, well, you know, if I struggled in this area, then I'm sure others have too. And so that was the push for me. In addition, because I do continuously, you know, promote my own books, I continuously promote my own products, because each book has like a merchandise or product that goes with it. So whether it's a t-shirt, a mug, a journal, that's the, you know, the whole entrepreneurship package. But for me, it was seeing the need and seeing the struggle and the challenges that came with trying to get the story out. So, you know, childhood trauma, or, you know, just the stressors of life, not believing in yourself, not thinking that you have what it takes, or feeling as if, you know, who would want to read my story? And it's going through or navigating through some of those hard conversations to get you to see that it is possible. And I had, you know, I went through the same thing. And so that's what led to the coaching side of it, to say, you know what, let me help, or let me be that voice, or not really the voice, let me say the vehicle to help you get to where you need to be or where you would like to be.
Have you seen, one of the things that I've seen, especially with authors, is the biggest struggle, males, females, women, men, it's the same thing. It's just actually starting to write that book. You have so many people who's like, oh, I want to write this book. I have a story to tell. Or maybe I meet someone, I'm like, your life is just so interesting. I can't believe you went through all these different things. You should write a book. And they're like, oh yeah, I've been planning to write this book for 15 years. And it's like, okay, write it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was, you know, one of the motivating factors for me to help, you know, help them decide, one, what do you want to write about? Because, you know, I'll get women that will say, oh, I want to write a story about my life. And because, you know, all experiences are different, but you're trying to capture so much in one book, it become overwhelming. So, you know, just trying to figure out, okay, what is it that you want to focus on? Because sometimes that can be the prevention of venturing out there, because it just is just so much, you know? So where do I start? Where do I begin? And so, you know, with going through some exercises and helping them to, you know, get to the root of it all and start from there. And then I always say, just pick one area. Because again, if it's, you want to write from the age 3 to the age, you know, 62, it's a lot that, you know, that has happened in between. And so it becomes overwhelming, and who wants to tackle something that's overwhelming or that seems, you know, impossible. And so, you know, it's working through some of those instances to get them to, you know, a center point or more focused area or a message that they can then start writing. And then once you start writing and you're seeing that you're making some traction, that builds up the momentum and motivates you to continue, especially when you have a plan and you can you know, see it. Like, I know that by this day I'm planning and I have my manuscript done. I want to be published. So when you start crafting out some of those, you know, goals and helping them craft out the goals and the deadlines, and they can see themselves actually doing the work to get there, then, you know, that means so much. And then to end up with, you know, a book in their hand.
And I think that coaches, and that's one of the reasons coaches are so important, you know, because we always feel like we're going through this process alone. I want to go over to Jay real quick, because we talked to Tamara about the writing process, the struggles, some of the things that they're going through. And then on the other hand, you have people who said, okay, I will write the book, or I'll start my business, but then I don't know about marketing. I don't know how to get it out there. I don't know what to do at that point. So you've been working with people, Jay, to help them get their message out there, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So I think it's really important. What Tamara's doing there is helping people to effectively get what would really play a big part in their personal brand into a story that people can resonate with, connect with, and then want more, which is the reason she's written more than one book, because people want more. So it's a really important part of any business. A lot of people start a business, go, this is great, sell something and just keep selling and selling. But people will not keep buying the same thing. And creating a new product is not going to do that for you either. They need something to connect to. And there's a saying, turn your mess into your message. So whatever's gone on in your life, whatever the bad situations are, whatever heartache you've had, whatever problems have been, own it. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed or even sad that it's happened. It's happened. Use it. Turn your weakness into your strength and make it part of, it doesn't have to determine or direct who you are, but it is part of who you are. And you will resonate with more people if you're open, honest, and vulnerable, transparent, and show exactly what you're about, because people resonate with you, what you're about, what you've gone through, and the way that you've come through it. That's what they connect with. Not even necessarily the product that you sell. Yeah, they like the product and that's great, but it's because of you that they are buying it. Otherwise, people go to Amazon and find the cheapest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case. It always happens. So that, and it, you see a lot of this in communities. People will come to you for the knowledge that you've had or that you've got. So you will have yourself, Sharifa, you'll have people that come to you because of the knowledge that's shared on these. But people will stay because of the community that you've created. If there wasn't a community here, they'd watch once or twice and then they'd find someone else that's doing something similar, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people doing something similar, but yours stands out because you've created a community, and a community attracts like-minded people who are all wanting to achieve not the same, but similar things. And when you can do that, when you can either craft a personal brand that leverages your unique story, build your authority, put forward your credibility and your authenticity, you know, be vulnerable. When you can do that, the business will make itself afterwards. That's what the key thing that a lot of people, especially small businesses, miss today. We think that big businesses don't have it because they're so big, and we just see you know, the products that they've got out there. But do you really think that many people, millions of people, buy Nike because they love the shape of a tick? Definitely not. It's what it does for you. It's the way it makes you feel. This is the equipment. This is what people that are top performers wear. This is what they use. And if I want to be at that level, then I need to be using the same things as them, because I've got the same drive as these people. I've got the same passion. And you think, wow, they're doing it, I'm the same. So you connect with people. And that's why a lot of people use celebrity endorsements as well, because you connect. There's a level of emotion, and emotion creates motion. And that emotion that you want them to take is buying, joining, collaborating, all those great things. So first thing, get your personal brand right, get your business brand right, because they're one of the same if you can tie them together. And then from that point, you've got to start working and building a community around that. And I'm not saying you need a big group of 1,000 people, because if you have a group of 20 people, if you impacted 20 people's lives this year, would you feel good about it? Would you see that as a success? A lot of small businesses with the right pricing could survive for a year on 20 customers. They might not be the biggest company, but they could probably survive on 20 good customers. So it's about getting the right people and keeping the right people. And if you can do that, you're going to see success, because they will become your marketing team for you. They will become your salespeople. They will attract people and bring people. And if you can do that, you're going to see a lot of success.
I like that. I think the words to live by, because I know one of the things when I always talk to Jody, I remember, I connect with her, but I always remember Erie, Colorado Counseling, what she does, because she's been here and talks about her brand. But if her personality and who she was wasn't so amazing, then no one would care about her business. Jody, have you found that people connect with you, want to talk? I mean, as a counselor, you have to be someone that people connect with.
Well, and I'm glad you associate me with Erie as opposed to COVID. So that's a good thing too.
I'm making progress.
Years from now when this pandemic is behind us. And I have to say I'm so motivated by all of you and I'm learning so many things. You know, I'm listening to Tamara and it's, you know, it reminds me of what I heard once, write what you know. And then you hit on something that is something that I address with people every day is you have to establish goals and you have to have short-term and long-term goals, but then you also have to have a deadline and a timeline of when you want to achieve it because the brain needs that structure, knowing that you can change it. But when you said that, I was like, yes. And then I'm listening to Josie and I'm like, oh my gosh, this float therapy is an option I can recommend to this patient and this patient, but also how very the polarization between different disciplines like cybersecurity. And then you're talking about the holistic end of things and reducing anxiety and the era we're living in, which is all cyber pretty much. I'm like, wow. And then of course I'm listening to Jay and I'm like, yeah, the brand, marketing yourself. So to get back to your question is when I started Erie, Colorado Counseling, we had moved to Erie. It was a small town, not even traffic lights. And initially I was working, doing other things and then got back into the ER with the hospitals and so on. But I kept thinking I need to go back into private practice. So the one thing I did was thought about making our little town and Erie, Colorado Counseling part of the town, identifying with the town. And so if you look at my website, everything is kind of cartoonized because I wanted to do everything different so my brand would stick out. And it's very black and white, meaning there's no bells and whistles. It's very basic. And as far as the community, as far as Erie, Colorado Counseling is known in the community, it's cut and dry. It's black and white. If Dr. DeLuca can't help you, she will refer you to somebody who can. So that sense of community within less than a year spread. So, but it was a privilege for me because I worked very hard at it. But anytime a person comes to you, it's a gift because they allow you that privilege to influence your life. But like Jay was saying, to continue that branding and to continue that sense of community, you have to know where you are, what you offer, and what makes you unique. So I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I'm just so pumped listening to everybody. And I've got a whole bunch of notes here. So thank you guys. This has been great.
I've been taking notes as well. I take notes on all my shows because I don't want to forget little points that everyone says. Yeah. I want to bring that up. So I definitely take notes.
Yeah.
Yes, it answered my question because again, it just showed your personality and that there was a conscious thought to reach out to the community. And that's what people don't understand. Sometimes they just want to open up a business and expect people to just come, but they don't go out into the community, introduce themselves, let people know who they are and what they do. I want to go back over to you real quick, Jyoti. And one of the things that Jody pointed out that I saw as well is that those are definitely polar, you know, opposites when we think of security and then we think of wellness. But what I love is that when I look at so many things now is that there's always the holistic approach. I had a lady who's been on my show 2 or 3 times. She almost died from diabetes. She has to be on a machine to this day. But she was actually given a short amount of time to live, but what helped her is she started looking into holistic approaches to diabetes. So now she teaches people about holistic approaches. So just in about everything we do these days, people want the holistic approach. Everything is holistic. But you mentioned that after being diagnosed and told that you had a short amount of time to live, you researched, you did what you had to do to prolong your life. We're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, but briefly, I would love for you to discuss, like, what are some of the strategies that you did? What are some of the modalities that actually worked for you?
Yeah, so I think we didn't really get a chance to talk about my brand. It is called the Chaos Guru. So I know Jody talked a lot about chaos, and that's really what I specialize in. So it's chaos in your body, chaos in your mind, chaos in your surroundings, and then just pretty much just all chaos. And it really boils down to the basic principles that's within you. So we talked about one of them today, which was fear. But then there's, you know, basic principles, right? Like, you don't want to be alone in your life. You want to feel needed, self-worth, fear. So really anything physical that's going on in your body, it all comes down to like the same basic principles. And it all starts in your mind. No one is telling you to feel the fear. You're feeling it yourself. No one is telling you to feel depressed or anxious or even pain. So even pain management, when I was basically, you know, cut open, like hip to hip, and, you know, a bunch of other things. So I could have chosen to play the victim role. I could have chosen to just be really sad, woe is me kind of thing. But for me, it all started shifting my mindset. And I could have listened to the doctors. I'm like, okay, I have 6 weeks to live. That's it. Good luck, husband, taking care of the kids. and I could have done that, but I chose to approach things in a different way. I chose to look at things in a different way. I chose to find lots of different things that work. So I would say in the 2.5 years that I looked at, tried different things out, it wasn't one thing that worked. It was the combination and the integration of multiple different modalities, but it was also 90% was mindset. And, you know, even if I was in pain, I chose to just kind of continue, try to like get myself up, try to do the things that I would normally do, and then just keep telling myself, you know, affirmations, incantations. And what I now bring to the workplace is all of that combined in an integrated format, but in bits and chunks. Because what I did find was when I couldn't even get out of bed to sit in the car to go to see a therapist, there was no question of like, well, I'm just going to resort to this one day a week therapy, and I would have to wait for 10 years to really feel a difference. So I really had to come up with things on my own, like quick 2-minute, 3-minute things that I can do throughout the day. And that's really what really got me going. And that's what I now bring to the workplace. So when we talked about the men, you know, they might not go to energy healing therapy. They might not go to acupuncture or yoga or float tanks. But then what I really specialize in now is just bringing 2-minute, 3-minute mind, body, energy techniques that they can just do once every hour. And it's what you do most that counts. So if you're able to do these techniques, you know, just take the, somebody had pointed out, take a pause. So one of my specialties is advising people to allow themselves to take that 2-minute pause every hour and do these techniques. Because if you think about NASCAR drivers, fastest people in the world, but what happens in the middle of a race car course? They stop. They come to a complete stop, and then they change their tires, do all the things to the car. And then that, you know, that's when they actually take the time to mentally pause, and then they continue on to in the race.
I've never heard that explained that way, but when you said it, I'm like, oh, you know what, that is true. That's an excellent point. And when you mentioned the 2 to 3 minute techniques that people can use earlier, I was like, okay, I got to hear more about this. But we are running out of time, unfortunately. But Jyoti, I definitely would appreciate if you come back. We'll take the time and maybe you can sit with us and walk us through 2 to 3 minutes of being able to utilize some of those techniques. Now, we are coming down to the last 2 minutes of the show. So that's about 30 seconds each. But what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. So I am going to go ahead and go back to you real quick, Jyoti. What do you want people to take away from your appearance today?
So what I want people to take away is just know that, you know, life is happening for you. You know, your mess can be your message. It's happening for you for a reason. You are prepared for this. Otherwise, it won't be happening, and it's preparing you for the next moment to come. So don't be afraid of it. Just grab it head on and push through it, and you will see a brand new side at the end.
I like that. I like how you're just so calm and peaceful. I gotta give me an altar like that. I love it.
Yeah.
Jay, what do you have for us?
So yeah, the main thing that I think people should be focusing on is themselves. You are the right person for the right challenge at the right time. So if it's presented to you, whether that's from the ether or whatever it is that you guys believe in, it's being presented to you. It may seem like a challenge, but it's a challenge because you're ready to it and it's helping you to move to the next level. So own what it is that's presented, use it for your strength, because that strength is going to help you to help other people in some way in your life.
I like that. Thank you, Tamara.
Hi. So yes, I would like to leave with the listeners or viewers about owning your truth. And so your story is your truth. And although people may try to discredit it, they can't. Like, you've lived it, you've experienced it. So own your truth and learn to do what exactly you want to do. And before, you know, I've heard, you know, time was an issue. Well, guess what? COVID happened and time suddenly stopped. We had to pivot and do things a different way and just understand that what you need is right there waiting for you to just take that step. So own your truth and start writing and get your story told. So that's it.
Amen. Own your truth. I love it. Jody, go ahead and take us out.
Well, first of all, it's great. Everybody has been so incredible. And in the backdrop of the pandemic, what I want to say, we are faced with so many different emotions and thoughts. But the one thing that I suggest is focus on the outcome you want, not perhaps in the long run, but day by day. Focus on the positive outcome that you want, not the fear. And also, there's always options. And we will get through this collectively as a nation and collectively as a world.
Yes, we will get through this together. Absolutely. I want to thank you all for being a guest on this Friday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I appreciate you all. I hope you all decide to come back. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. We appreciate you, but don't just watch the show. Share the show with your friends, be a guest, share your story, share your business, share whatever you're working on. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asharifa.com. But also, again, don't just watch the show. Support our guests, visit our guests, pick up a copy of your book. Their website links, their information is in the Facebook post. So until next time, which is Monday, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.
Bye, Sharifa. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.